got it. Here we go. The Simon Curley Show. Thank you, everyone, for joining in on a Friday. We do appreciate it. We also love when you write to us. Questions, comments, concerns, constructive criticism is read by Sherry. I try to ignore that. One of you gets a chance to be letter of the day. It's chosen by a teeny tiny lady in a pickle jar. Don't bother. Don't ask me to explain. I don't know how that all happened. Diving in. All right, big press conference yesterday, 2 o'clock our time. The president of the United States, Joe Biden, is chosen by 80-some million people. Amazing. Came out and basically laid out the fact that the OSHA is going to be able to, well, let me not explain this. That the president is concerned about the 80 million people that are unvaccinated. We made it easy for you. We made it free. We did everything we possibly could. We've been patient. We've been as patient as we possibly can, but we're losing our patience. So get vaccinated. And he went, get vaccinated. He did that as he walked away. Mm-hmm. And saying, we're coming. This is it. We're done. We're done waiting for you. Now, if you have 100 employees or more, then the employer is going to have to make sure that you're vaccinated. They're also going to have to provide tests for you. This is the job of the employer that has more than 100. So if you have less than 100, your 99 don't matter. But 100 or more will need to start to keep track and then, I guess, collect data and then, I guess, report to some division of the federal government to then implement some process to then to get the people that aren't vaccinated or the how do you pay for the tests and who's responsible for all this sort of stuff. And that's because when you start to dig into it, it really makes absolutely no sense and might be constitutionally forbidden. But the president said today,
are calling your vaccine requirements an overreach? You are threatening to challenge it in court.
Have at it. Look,
couldn't quite get the applause going on that one.
I'm so disappointed that particularly some of the Republican governors have been so cavalier with the health of these kids.
Oh, the kids.
So yeah. Cavalier.
The kids. It's the kids. Mm-hmm. The kids. By the way, since the whole thing began, 347 have lost their lives. The majority, the overwhelming majority, had some type of illness, a serious illness that took their life as well, like leukemia. I don't know the number, but I think it's single digits that died of COVID that they didn't have some other condition on top of it. But don't forget, it's the kids.
Clear for the health of their communities.
Yeah.
This is we're playing for real here. This isn't a game. And I don't know of any scientist out there in this field that doesn't think it makes considerable sense to do the six things I've suggested.
Okay, so all six of them. All right, as it is, the question gets down to who has the authority. The executive branch of the government doesn't, but they're passing this on to OSHA. And does OSHA have the power to then implement this process to protect the American people?
Probably not. There's a great article in Reason.com, and apparently there's two different ways that OSHA can set rules. And what he's asking them to do is to use the emergency decree power, okay? And in that case, OSHA must determine that workers are in grave danger and that an emergency standard is needed to protect them. And so what you have to determine is a mandate, a vaccine mandate that applies to employees, all employees, even the ones that work from home or mm-hmm. maybe people that have contracted the virus already. Is that really needed to protect other workers from, quote unquote, grave danger? Uh-huh. And there has been a lot of OSHA regulations, a lot of things that have been struck down in court. Last year, a few years ago, I guess, 9 times OSHA used emergency powers, and 3 of them went unchallenged, and 6 of them went to court. Only 1 was upheld. So chances are this will go all the way to the Supreme Court, and it just won't happen. And, you know, you have to really be able to prove that the public is in grave danger. And I don't I don't think they can prove that at all. I think they can only prove that it is a health risk, but not grave danger.
Right. Ron Klain, the president's chief of staff, tweeted out, OSHA doing this vax mandate is an emergency workplace safety rule, is the ultimate workaround for the federal government to require vaccinations. So a workaround, what are they working around? They're working around the Constitution. So it's the same way with the eviction notice, that when you had the CDC come in and say, no, you can't let the person leave the house, because if they leave the house, therefore, if they get thrown out, they're going to go to somebody else's house. They're going to spread this thing. That was, the science was so faulty on that. Shame on Donald Trump for trying to get the CDC to get in there and stop evictions from occurring. But then even shame on the president when he said, listen, we've looked at this every single which way. It's probably, you know, go ahead. We'll just try to extend this thing as long as possible. This is the same sort of thing. But the claim, who is Biden's chief of staff, saying it's a workaround. It's a work around the Constitution. So that means it's illegal. And most likely this thing will not be able to be applied. If you are the business, how do you do this? Who do you report to? How do you test? How often do you test? They say once a week, but who pays for the test? And then the data that is collected, what do you do with that? So there's no way of really enforcing this thing. But what I think it does for the president, it allows him to go, look, 250,000 people have died since I took office. Now, of course, the blood is not on his hands. It's all on Donald Trump's hands. But 250,000 people have died since Biden got in there. And this is his way of saying there's 80 million of you that are not vaccinated. So there's a pretty good chance a bunch of you will continue to die. About 1,000 people a day die. And then the president can say, I tried to do what I could to save them. And I tried to put this in place. But look at all these people that fought us in court. And therefore, I did what I could possibly do. But the rest of you ignored me. So each death that occurs after this day is not my fault. It's the people that challenged my idea to get everybody vaccinated. So it does give you sort of a higher upper ground to be able to shoot down on people that are shooting up at you, basically saying what you're doing is an overreach. So technically, it will be easily to be dismantled, but ultimately, morally, it'll seem like the president was leading on this one.
Right. And he can do another one of his come on, man, speeches about why he's right and why everyone else is so dumb to not get the vaccine. But I think that he absolutely realizes that this is not going to go. It's not going to be upheld. It's not going to be able to pass any test. And, you know, he's already got so much opposition to it. So many people are legally challenging this already. But you're right. He wants to take the moral high ground, and he can say, hey, sorry, I did what I could. I tried to get everybody on board and nobody would do it, you know?
Right. Right. So the question is that I get back to, there's three categories, and the third category is being ignored. I talked to my friend Lisa last night. Her husband, at the age of, say, 35 years old, died of COVID. She knows she had COVID. She got it from her husband. So she's in the third category. There's two categories. There's one, unvaccinated and vaccinated. We know that if you get vaccinated, chance of going in the hospital, chance of dying is diminished to the point that it's a point of 2%, 0.1%, depending on your age. So you got that group, then you have the unvaccinated. But what about the people that had COVID and have their own antibodies? The new test that comes out of Israel shows that sometimes your antibodies are actually stronger than the vaccine. If you have had COVID, do you want to get another shot? Do you want something in your bloodstream that is a vaccine when you already have your own antibodies? I would be very, very, very skeptical if I happen to be in that third category. The federal government and Joe Biden and other governments, including our own here, Inslee, doesn't recognize that third category. I'm not quite sure why. Maybe because they can't control that category, but that category is necessary to be recognized in this quote-unquote fight against COVID. If you had COVID and you got it and then your body fought it off, would you feel good about putting a vaccine into your body?
I probably would, because I'm a bit of a hypochondriac, and
well,
I want to make sure I want to make sure that I'm completely protected. I think the hard part, John, is how do you track those people? Because as you've pointed out many times, a lot of people had COVID, didn't even know they had it. They didn't even have any symptoms. So they may have antibodies build up, but how do you measure that? You can measure vaccinated people. You can say, you know, a third of the country or half the country's already been vaccinated, you don't really know how many people have antibodies. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a difficult thing to like you said, it's difficult to control, but it's also very, very difficult to have any kind of a measurement of. And so therefore, they have to eliminate that because they don't know.
Right. I have to say that it is ironic when you think about it historically. It was on September 11th that 20 years ago, when we were attacked, the size of the federal government expanded for our own safety. The Patriot Act, which was actually written and endorsed and sponsored by Joe Biden, I think in 1994, really went nowhere. But after the September 11th, all of a sudden there was momentum underneath it. We then had Homeland Security. We then spent billions and billions and billions of dollars to protect ourselves against a terrorist attack. Millions of dollars went out to cities all across the United States to buy things like bulletproof vests for dogs, because we were under the sort of scare that the next attack was coming and we needed to be prepared. So then we set up this clown show at the airport where 3 ounces of something was okay, but 4 ounces needed to be dumped in a gigantic bucket next to us. That we'd have to take our belts off and we'd have to have somebody grab our genitals to make sure that we could get on an airplane, because the federal government expanded the size in order to protect us. We gave up a little bit of liberty and then we gave up more liberty and more liberty. The same thing is standing here before us now. Do we want the federal government to begin to mandate to our bosses that we have to have something on our phone that we need to show to somebody in order to go to a football game? The power of the federal government expanding to protect us against something that we know is a virus that we have control over, which is a thing called a vaccine, and that eventually these viruses, which there are a whole bunch of them, this one will become like anything else, the flu or the cold. But does the federal government expanding with the idea of saving all of us erode more and more of our freedom? So I think we're on the precipice, and I like the fact that we're pushing back on Biden, just like we pushed back on Donald Trump, that we don't want this type of interference into our lives. We have the vaccine. Take the vaccine. If you don't want the vaccine, you're going to go to the hospital. A pretty good chance you could go to the hospital. Pretty good chance you could die. We hear 40%. So therefore, at this point, you leave it up to those individuals. This is the thing that I don't understand. I don't mean to sort of soapbox and take all the time away from you, Sherry, but is the problem the infrastructure? If the problem is the infrastructure, meaning there's not enough hospital beds, great. Then you know what? Expand the number of hospital beds. Because if that's the fear, my grandmother wants to go in and she wants to get a mammogram, but she can't get a mammogram because there's too many beds taken up with COVID. Good, then do what we did back in March of 2000. Let's set up some emergency hospital beds. Let's put them in place. And then those that don't want to be vaccinated could possibly go to those beds, and you could leave the beds open for the people here in the state of Washington or the United States. They want to control the supply of hospital beds to put pressure and to put the pressure, the downward pressure, on officials and government and those unvaccinated to get vaccinated. Because what we're saying is, you're unvaccinated, you're going in and taking up a bed that could possibly be used for some small kid who got hit in the head with something. So aren't you selfish that you're not helping? Guess what, government? If it's an infrastructure problem, bring in the aircraft carriers that have all the hospital beds. Set up the thing over at CenturyLink Field again, Inslee. Since you did it before, do it now. Since all of our hospitals are being overrun, do it now. Get the ventilators in. The 500 that you sent back to the federal government, bring them back in again. Solve that problem. Don't control the supply side in order to supply fear and anger directed towards those people that choose not to be vaccinated.
And that's an excellent point. And I've often wondered.
If you disagree with me, I'd bring Tom back from France. So go ahead.
I've often wondered what happened to those supplies. What happened to the medical, you know, the ship that they brought in? Where is that? You know, if we're really that overrun, where is all that stuff? Why aren't we bringing it back? Why are we talking about people being turned away at hospitals when we had the resources, you know, 8 months ago? Where is it gone? I mean, clearly they still have those things. So why not do that? I mean, that just is common sense.
We have those things, and they can bring all those things back again, but you don't want to bring those things back because then that solves the problem. There's two problems. The one the federal government sees is the 80 million unvaccinated. The other problem, the true problem right here on the ground is of the 10,000 hospital beds we have in the state of Washington, 1,300 or 400 of them are taken up with COVID patients. We're hearing that we're at 70% on the ICU. Okay, good. Let's solve the problem. Solving that problem would actually take the pressure off. Again, I'm repeating myself, but it really isn't about the 80 million. If you choose to not have a safety belt on, a seat belt on, and you go through the windshield, that's your stupid choice to go through the windshield. Do you want the employer to come down and make sure that you got your seatbelt on before you leave work? And then would you like your employer to travel with you to make sure you have your seatbelt on while you're going home? The fact that you've made the choice to not wear the seatbelt is your choice. You going through the windshield is not going to cause someone else to go through the windshield. If you're vaccinated, you're safe. That's what they've told us. Fine dandy. If you don't want to get vaccinated, your choice. Bring in some new hospital beds and put the people over there and give them the care that they need. But those were their choices. Society can go on. We do not need the federal government to get bigger and bigger and bigger as we give up more and more of our liberty for some slice of perceived safety. Tracy Taylor's got to look at traffic. Back in Tom. There he goes. It's good to have you guys both in the same room there, you and Tom, Sherry. That's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank Tom, would you please?
Thank you, Tom. Well done.
All righty. Don't patronize him. I mean, that was unnecessary. He's a professional.
I'm sorry. I feel bad about the humming. I wanted him to feel better about himself.
Sean is going to capture some of that. We'll have it on Monday. He's not completely unaware of it. All right. I remember when Google Glass came out, and people that wore them were called glass holes. I think that's okay.
With good reason.
It came out in 2014, 2015, and $1,500 was a pair of glasses. Weren't sunglasses, but you could then, say, Google. You could Google stuff, and you could see it in the left-hand side. Mm-hmm. You could send Facebook. You could do all sorts of stuff. And I think very few people had them, but those that had them, you're like, are you videotaping me? What are you doing? Why are you wearing those glasses? And it didn't sell, didn't do well. You can buy them in the aftermarket now, but Google did not give up on the idea of being able to have glasses that people can wear. So now Wall Street Journal, I don't even know, are these made by Google? Are these made by Facebook? Who actually makes these glasses?
They're made by Ray-Ban and Facebook,
right.
Okay?
Oh.
And they're called Ray-Ban Stories. And the part that's different than Google is that you can't really Google anything, but you can take pictures just clicking the side of the glasses.
Oh, God.
You can take a 30-second video.
Hold on. Here's somebody with a far more convincing voice than yours.
Now, before you start calling me a total creeper, let's talk about these shades. And why I've been recording random people. These are not your old...
I take it back. You have a better voice. But here she is.
Tom Cruise.
She has music underneath.
It's Ray-Ban Wayfarer glasses. Although some might say they're risky business.
These are
Ray-Ban Stories. A $299 pair of high-tech glasses made with Facebook. Tap here and this 5-megapixel camera records video of whatever you're looking at.
You said that.
This small LED light is supposed to signal to people you're recording. The idea of camera-equipped glasses, definitely not new. There was Google Glass, which didn't go so well.
We talked about
that. And more recently, Snapchat spectacles. Similar to those, these are...
I didn't even know about those. Snapchat spectacles?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looked almost as weird as the Google ones.
Okay.
Meant to let you put down your smartphone and record without looking at a screen. But here is what's new. Super cool, classic-looking sunglasses with high-quality cameras and microphones.
By the way, how much they weigh? 17 pounds? Is that what it is?
Most don't notice that tiny little recording light and don't think twice when you're wearing these glasses. They basically just think, you look awesome. Which could basically make these spy glasses.
Oh, I didn't. It was so poorly overproduced. So you wear the things and then you walk around and people eventually realize that you're recording them. I don't think this adds any comfort to anyone's life that you are now wearing glasses that you're then recording something else on. Right.
Well, they may not know you're recording, John. The the tricky part of this is that the light that is on the, you know, where the glass, the arm of the glasses and the glasses connect is so tiny that you really can't see it. So you could go along and, you know, click your little thing and start recording somebody. Mm-hmm. The sort of quote unquote safety feature is that it's only for 30 seconds. So you can't record much longer than that, but you could do consecutive 30 second recordings if you wanted to.
Sean, you could do a lot of horrible stuff in 30 seconds, couldn't you?
Just in general? Yeah.
Now, the coolness is almost the reason they're so creepy. No one expects when you're wearing these that you've got two cameras on your face.
Mm.
Plus, the LED indicator is very small. I'm talking somewhere between the size of a poppy seed and a sesame seed.
Okay, that's a good reference. Bigger than a bread box or a football field. Smaller than a football field.
So I devised my own little social experiment this week. Talked to as many people as I could and see if they knew I was recording. Some thought they were creepy.
You guys are seeing me.
Others thought they were cool.
Recording you right now.
And yes, I told people I was recording quickly after hitting the button and got everyone's permission to use their footage in this video. Unlike the big indicators on the Snapchat spectacles, people just don't notice it. And outdoors, the light is even harder to see.
Okay, so then how does Facebook end up sort of saying that there's some defense against the creepiness?
Facebook says this gesture of bringing your hand up to your temple to record is another signal to people that you're recording. But lots of people didn't pick up on that either. And when you set up your stories, the View app suggests that you do a demo for people to let them know how the capture LED works.
Oh, yeah.
The company also says that the 30-second recording limit is another privacy measure to ensure people aren't being recorded at length without their knowledge. Still, they should have made this indicator bigger and maybe red or green.
Yes, I would suggest a giant, like we have here at Car Radio, on-air light that you wear on top of your head that is hooked up to a battery that you wear around your waist, and then it is secured with giant leather straps. Oh, there's also a horn that signals that the recording is about to begin, and then an explosion occurs when the recording is finished, just to let the person know that you are finished recording them.
And don't you know the universal sign of I'm recording is putting your hand up to your temple?
Right. But what you need to do is it has to be your left hand goes up to your right temple and then comes around and presses hard and then comes back down again. It's either signaling that you're making a right-hand turn on a bicycle or you're about to videotape somebody.
Now, what about if a voice comes out and says, rolling?
And action! Cut! That's enough! Print! Who wants a martini? How do you think this will do?
I think this will do great. I think this is
Wait a minute.
Beginning.
Honestly, you really think they're going to buy these?
Oh, I think so. It also plays music, and then you can, you know, I think this is the beginning of the beginning of this stuff. I think this is going to look like Pong. Compared to video games, eventually, that there'll be all kinds of things. You probably won't even have to wear any glasses. You can do it with your eyeball or something like that. Yeah, I think this is the future. I really do. I think a lot of people will buy this.
And will it pass you by?
Yes. I don't. You know me. No, I'm not going to do
You don't
do
care.
That.
No. A quick round the horn, Sean. If you could afford these, would you buy a pair of them?
Definitely not.
Thank you. Jacob?
You don't think I could afford these? They're like, what, $300?
Well, I didn't mean to insult you with the price. I did that for Sean because he often goes, what, with the money I make? No. So I removed that as part of the decision making. Of course, I didn't mean to insult you. $300 is nothing. Nothing.
I actually don't like the style of the Ray-Bans that much. So independent of the privacy concerns, I think it's mainly just like, I'm not going to wear those.
I see. Well, I have to tell you something. I always take my sunglasses off when I'm talking to somebody. Leo Buscaglia, that famous guy that wrote a bunch of things and he was on PBS and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I love you! Remember Leo Buscaglia?
Yeah, yeah.
He used to say, I can hear you a lot better when you take off your sunglasses! So I realized, as annoying as he was, it's true. You ever talk to somebody when they have sunglasses on, you're like looking at them and you're not really... So even the other day, I was sitting there, sun was right in my face, I'm sitting with somebody, and I thought, I need to take my glasses off because I can't express as much as I want to express with these glasses on. And the guy kept his glasses on. I was like, that's a gesture for you to take yours off as well. I guess he had never heard of Leo Buscaglia.
No, he didn't realize that that is the invitation to remove yours as well.
Right. Now, if we both had those Ray-Bans on, we would both reach across and start videotaping each other. But I hear you a lot better when you take off your sunglasses. Don't you find that to be true?
Yeah, I think that's true. I think imagine if you have your sunglasses on and a face mask. Then you might as well have just an entire, like, ski mask on.
Oh, my God, ski masks. I miss those. All right, Tracy Chair, looking at traffic. All righty. There we go. You didn't hear me drop all of that stuff, did you, Sean, when, earlier before that commercial break?
Oh, I heard it because I had you in queue, so I could hear behind the scenes down the line, but nobody in the listening audience heard it.
Lots of problems today here at the mansion.
I thought it was a part of your body, something fell off.
I reached up to get a glass and all the stuff fell out of the cabinet. All right, you don't need to know about that. You need to know the fact that Bill Cosby's coming back bigger and better than ever. I told Jacob and Sherry this story when I was doing that event in Alabama a couple weeks ago where I didn't know any celebrities. I was backstage. I didn't realize with Bill Cosby's agent. And this guy was like, because you had to be kind of quiet backstage. You go, yeah, Bill Cosby. Yeah, we got lots of projects in the works. I was like, really? Oh, yeah, yeah. He's got like, we're working on a Fat Albert. I was like, Fat Albert's coming back? With a meal and Fat Albert? He goes, yeah, just like that. I was doing my Fat Albert. I had all the voices down. Hey, it's Fat Albert. He goes, yeah, we got that. We've got a bunch of comedy stuff we're going to be doing, plus a new movie. He's got a book. I said, we're talking about the same guy, right? Bill Cosby, the guy that's been in prison, and he's back. Oh, yeah. And I said, well, can I just say that it seems like this is shocking news? He goes, well, you don't understand that Bill didn't do anything wrong, so, like, why would he need to be working again?
Oh.
I was like, okay. I got to get back out on stage, but you can return back to planet Earth anytime you'd like. But I was like, no, that's still that line from Woody Allen. But what do we hear from Fox and from other organizations? Is Bill Cosby coming back?
Yeah, he is. His spokesperson, Andrew Wyatt, says that he's been working on a bunch of projects. He said that while he was in prison, he used to take about 3 or 4 calls a week just because I guess he was very busy doing something else in prison, so he couldn't possibly take a call every day. But now he's talking on the phone all the time to producers. He's coming out with a book. Yeah. He spent his first night out of prison doing comedy routines.
Yeah.
So, so he's back bigger than ever at 82 years old.
I think he's legally blind, so he's got that going against him. Or, have you had your choice of, like, going to something over the weekend, and you go, oh, look, Chicago's in town, or this or that, and then you go, hey, Bill Cosby's down at the Ha Ha Shack, right? The Laugh House. You want to go? I mean, would people want to go see Bill Cosby?
I think he definitely still has a fan base, but I wouldn't go see Bill Cosby. I mean, even if he got out of prison on the technicality that he got out of prison for, it doesn't excuse the fact, what so many women have said about him. But I think there are a lot of people out there that still believe that he's a great comedian, that he is.
I'm not taking that away from him. He is funny. He's very, very talented. Yeah. But the question is, does what you perceive Bill Cosby to be, whether proven or unproven in court, does that cloud your ability to sit there in the room laughing at Bill Cosby when you have heard the stories about his behavior?
For me, absolutely. But I don't know that that's true of everybody. What about you?
I don't know. The only reason I would see him is so that I'd have something to talk about on the radio on Tuesday.
Like morbid curiosity. But you wouldn't go see him because and what happened to all those physical ailments that he claimed made him incapable of really being in prison? You know, he couldn't walk, he couldn't see, he couldn't hear, all kinds of things.
Well, he is going to be doing the comedy show with fake bars in front of him sitting in a small cell. And and you all have to wear orange jumpsuits when you go in just to kind of keep
Got it.
That's part of it. All right. Tracy Tiller, would you go see Bill Cosby?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, if you had to get an autograph from somebody, Bill Cosby or O.J. Simpson, you had to get one. Who would you get the autograph from?
What?
That's just a typical question that they ask when you apply for a job at Google.
No, they actually don't. But that was a good try on that one.
Wire manhole covers round. All right.